Welcome to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Roberts, and it is November 29th of 2017. Now, this is a week after Thanksgiving, so hopefully your dysfunctional family, as my dysfunctional family, all your Thanksgiving stuff is done, and you got three more weeks of Christmas. And as we know, we're seeing the Christmas season, all the Christmas songs starting. And so today I'm excited, and I know I always say this, but I'm excited to interview AJ Christian Mora.
Yes, sir.
And the reason I'm excited about this is because, how old are you?
I turned 21 in July.
Okay, so it must have been 22 years ago that I remember exactly where I was. I was in a parking lot somewhere by the Metro Rail. That was before the Metro Rail, and your mother came up to me and said she was pregnant with you. And it's hard to believe that I'm actually interviewing you, and you're part of our church.
Yeah.
And so how did you discover, now you work at our church.
Yes.
How did that work out? Or how did that happen?
My dad actually, I think he bumped into Brooke somewhere by Herman, or in Highland Park or something, and he had mentioned that Marina was looking for a new sound tech.
Uh-huh.
And he said if I was interested to just hit him up.
Okay.
So I hit him up, and Marina's always been like a family church because of Herman. I mean, we used to play softball together.
Oh, that's true. Were you on the softball team?
Yeah, I was always playing every year.
That was about 5 or 6 years ago.
I was like the youngest one there.
Oh,
I was the youngest one playing. I think I was like 14, 15. It was before I dislocated my shoulder in high school because I can't play anymore.
Oh, really?
So if we were to do that again, you guys are out of luck.
I'm sorry. I'm about that.
Yeah.
Because we've played with Line Life, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it was all three of us. It was like a little tournament.
Yeah, tournament. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
okay, so you were part of that church. Okay. And so let's go back because the thing is, what I'm excited about, you and I have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, we have a history that's probably a little painful with Herman Church, correct?
A little bit.
Okay, a little bit. And then we both, you and I, grew up in the church,
mm-hmm.
and we both had dads that were pastors.
Mm-hmm.
So we are called PKs, pastor's kids. And pastor's kids have a reputation of being messed up. And the thing is, I don't mean that in a sense like you're messed up, but somehow the church has messed us up.
I wouldn't even say messed up. I'd say the perception of us is so, like, not the perception, the expectation of us is so high that we're then in this, we're not as good as everybody else. Or maybe we do have that bad reputation.
Right.
Because the expectation is so high, maybe we don't always need that.
Do you remember when you started beginning to feel that expectation?
Oh, yeah. It was like after, and I remember I was in Ida's class. That was my Sunday school teacher at Herman. After I got out of her class, and like I was starting to be more like in the bigger church, kind of seeing people, talking to people, having to converse and things.
I started
running the soundboard and doing like the slides
too.
Yeah, me and James Sandoval did that.
James Sandoval, good grief. Because for me, when I experienced there was an expectation, I still remember during the worship service, and this was in San Jose, California, and I was probably 13, 12 years old, and I was sitting during the worship time.
Yeah.
And this lady sticks her hands under my armpits.
And picks you up.
And picks me up.
Yeah.
And like, you're the pastor's kid, you should be standing. And I remember...
Yeah.
I felt like total shame. I totally embarrassed. Like,
uh-huh.
you know, not like everyone saw this.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm standing there. The body temperature is like 105 degrees in my body.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
So you had...
I definitely remember moments like that. I couldn't even, you know, give you an exact like kind of description. But I definitely have had those like... moments of like, oh, you're a pastor's kid, you shouldn't be doing this or that type of thing, or like you should be doing this.
And I don't get it. I just don't get it either.
I mean, it's just, you know, people, you know, your dad's a pastor, they should be teaching you everything that they're teaching their church, but you know,
and you should be the type of thing.
Yeah, you should be like the exact image of what he's talking about, and it's like that's not how it goes.
That's crazy.
Are your children the exact image?
Their children are not even going to church.
You know,
and they're popping off children.
Yeah.
Now you get me going, and then, I don't know, they're popping off popping off. But anyway, see, now you got me all frustrated.
Because you understand.
Yes,
you
understand. I'm reliving this whole stupid thing. So anyway, let's go back. Do you remember when you grew up in the church that when you were Titus with Christ, I mean, do you remember receiving Christ in your life? Do you remember?
I do. It was actually at Light and Life because I went to the school from 2nd to 8th grade.
Okay.
And it was actually my dad was speaking at Light and Life. It was on a Wednesday service. We used to have, you know, service every Wednesday at school, all dressed up and everything. And he was actually guest speaking. And he invited, you know, he did the whole invitation to the front.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
and it was like almost the entire school went up.
Okay.
Type of thing.
Now, your dad is A.J. Mora.
Yes.
And if you don't know A.J. Mora, he's well known in the DJing scene.
Yeah.
And I had the privilege of working with your dad 8 years, or no, maybe 8 years, 5 years. And so we stopped working together when I moved here and became in the church. So your dad is really a dynamic speaker.
Yeah.
And
my favorite people to listen to speak about these type of things.
And I'm not.
I mean, no, you're good. No, you're actually, you're good. You're a good second.
Good second. Okay, your dad.
Yeah.
But anyway, your dad is an incredible speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fascinating to me. So you receive Christ in your life due to your dad's altar call.
Yeah, and it wasn't even the fact that it was, you know, my dad's altar call.
Right.
It was just the fact of, like, that was the first time I actually felt moved to do it.
Because,
I mean, he's always, you know, I went to Herman where he was the pastor. He did altar calls all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, you know.
But something hit.
Yeah, just something, I mean, you know, I was in, like, 5th or 4th grade.
Right.
I was like, I mean, I was sitting with my friends.
Okay.
I was like, I think I was probably one of the first people to go up there.
Oh, so it wasn't,
and
like,
everyone's going up, I should go.
Go.
No, it was like, I remember genuinely thinking and sitting and like thinking, should I go up there? Do I have to do this? It was
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so after that, you know, you're growing in Christ and stuff. But would you say because of church, because your dad started doing this building project or this project,
renovation yeah.
in the sanctuary.
Something similar actually what we're going to be doing.
Yeah. So I'm going to give everyone church issues.
Yeah. Payback.
So sometimes you were telling me in a pre-interview, you saw your dad going through some stuff that you go, this is not fair. This is not right. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things, because I didn't think it was such an issue, I didn't really understand at the time, was the church pews.
Okay.
You know, he wanted to get rid of the church pews. He was carpeting the whole church.
Right.
You know, it was a whole change. You got softer, comfortable chairs, you know, more nicer looking.
Kind of made the sanctuary more modern.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. He was modernizing the church a little bit. And a lot of the older people, for sure, didn't, you know, they had a real problem with it.
Okay.
You know, he was getting, you know, talked to, you know, talked down to, telling, like, he wasn't
doing the right thing. Did you experience that?
I saw it happen. I didn't, you know, I didn't hear any of the conversations, but body language, it was definitely, like...
I saw some crazy things.
No, I'm sure.
My dad getting talked down.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it personal. Did you take it personal?
I always saw him in the church as his job.
Okay.
So when he would get talked down to, I mean, I wasn't super involved in, you know, knowing the roles of the church, who's on top of who, I knew he was, you know, one of the head people, you know, kind of in charge, but I didn't know who was above him.
Right.
So when he was getting talked down to, I was like, oh, it's probably something work related, or maybe it's not above him, maybe it's not a superior, but it's still, you know, confrontational.
Right.
But, you know.
And so when you look at this, like, okay, when you were junior high or elementary school, you accepted Jesus Christ, you have this, wow, this is great moment, because we all
feel you feel good after it.
You feel great.
It's like
you
a refresh.
Jesus, but all of a sudden, things happen that, especially when you and I growing up in the church, we see things that we shouldn't have to see.
Yeah, the kind of behind the scenes things.
Yeah, the hypocrisy.
Yeah,
that's going on.
Definitely.
Within the church. Did that start affecting you in beginning of high school or later on?
Ooh, I would say early middle school, 6th, 7th grade.
Do you remember what was
that? I'd say 7th, 8th grade.
Okay.
Yeah, 7th, 8th.
That you saw?
It was more noticing the hypocrisy in the church and kind of how, again, with that PK expectation, you know, how it's just, you know, it's always there, even when... when you know people aren't meeting their own expectations for themselves and still, you know, coming to church and expecting this out of you.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, that definitely put me in a weird place with church.
Okay.
Like, it was starting to kind of turn me away from it for sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So when you were around 14, 15?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely.
Okay, during the softball games.
No.
During the softball era.
Before that.
Because, you know, there's no Christianity in baseball. Right? You know, softball, everyone's ripping
it. I mean, I would say that's when...
Those teams got crazy.
It got competitive.
Yeah, it got competitive.
We left upset. There was no love between churches at the softball game.
We all know. Okay. Anyway, sorry.
You made me forget what I was saying.
The hypocrisy that you were going
up. So it wasn't that it was kind of just starting to implant, I'd say. Okay. It wasn't like completely turning me away. You know, I was still finding the things that my friends at church, the softball games were great, potlucks, you know, the youth group, those types of things.
So you had some good memories.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, filled with good memories. Again, I wasn't really, even in the services, I was kind of like doing what I'm doing now, slides and sound. So it was like I was always involved. Kind of paying attention in my own way. I wasn't in like the seating with the church. I was kind of focused in a different way, which kept me entertained in a different aspect.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I think then what was going on, and I always want to discuss this because I know like you're tight with your dad. You have a good relationship with your dad, and I didn't. I didn't have not with your dad. I didn't have a good relationship with my dad, and I've always had tendencies to be a mama's boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's how
I had my moments.
But then all of a sudden there started to feel a little friction at home for you too, and seeing your mom and dad not getting along as much as they used to. But and so being a PK, and I've always wondered about this, and then seeing some hurt, both of your mom and father, you know, we're not going to choose sides or stuff like that. Did that affect your spiritual walk, or did you go through that?
I feel as it didn't, I wouldn't say affect my spiritual walk as much as distract me from it.
Okay.
It wasn't that I was getting deterred from it or not wanting to practice my beliefs, but it was more of there's other things going on that I have to pay attention to.
Okay.
Kind of figure out.
Right. You know? And plus, you were...
I was... This is early teenage, 12 to 15.
Oh, and they were... So this is that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was
my freshman year. I'm 21 now.
Wow. I forgot. That is a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so, so it kind of distracted you a little. So your walk with the Lord. And I want to kind of... chronologist or some word.
Some word you don't know.
Yeah, I really don't. I have it in my head. It just doesn't come out.
Sounds right.
I want to take the steps. When you were in fourth grade, that you were excited and stuff like this. And when you were growing up in the church, you even said that there was a foundation or something building up that you're seeing hypocrisy going on. And then all of a sudden in your divorce of your parents and stuff like that, it's almost to the point that was a distraction. So I kind of want to look at your walk.
That timeline.
The timeline with your walk with the Lord. What affected it? Why are you coming out with your conclusion now at being 21? Because your conclusion is based on your experience.
Definitely. 100%.
So I'm just kind of showing the experiences. So that kind of distracted you. Did you want to stop going to church?
No. I mean, at the time, you know, I lived right next to the church. You know, it wasn't like there was no not going to church. Because I can't go outside and not go to church on Sundays. You know,
that's true.
On Sundays, it's either stay at home or walk outside and see everybody.
You can't even walk in the backyard.
No, yeah, I can't. Yeah, it would either be stay inside or don't go outside.
Put a sheet over your head and run.
But it wasn't that I didn't want to go. It was just, you know, kind of distracting myself, kind of. And it wasn't, there was more arguing in the household about my dad being busy, if okay. anything. It was a lot. He was, the church kind of made him a workaholic in a sense. Right. You know, he was passionate about it. Yeah. He loves what he talks about.
Right.
Which is probably why it happened. Yeah. You know, he was very involved. He wanted to get his points across.
Right.
And sometimes it took away from the home life. And I mean, I'm sure that was upsetting.
And your dad had a huge, deep passion
for everything. Oh, he has a deep passion for everything he does.
Yeah, that's everything. That's a good point. He doesn't have hardly do things.
No, he's not going to do something he doesn't really want to do it.
Or nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And so, therefore, is this when your dad resigned from the church?
That's what made, the divorce definitely is what made him step down. No one pushed him down. Okay. No one said he had to leave. Okay. No one pushed him or asked questions. It was something he felt that he should do because, and I'll never forget this because this is exactly what he told me when he was explaining why he was leaving. Okay. And he said, how can I counsel people in marriage and help them, you know, get, do this right when I can't keep it together myself? Right. And that really stuck with me up until now.
Is it to a point where did you get emotional then or was it just like...
I mean, I think at any age you'll get emotional seeing your parents go through something like that. But it was more of I felt for them than in my own emotions.
Okay.
Yeah, because it didn't bug me internally like myself. Yeah. It was more like this sucks for them. I want them to be better.
Right, because you love both of them.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and I love both of them, too. Your mother is awesome.
Yeah.
And your dad's a bonehead. And I love him to death, too. But he's a bonehead. Your mother, to me, is perfect. But anyway, going through this and stuff, it's an interesting perspective that you have, not focusing on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But saying, I want the best for my mom.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's my parents. They're always going to be my parents, together or not.
Right.
You know, and I think they do a much better job doing that for me and my brother as they are now than when they were together.
Right, right.
Yeah, they're able to communicate without getting in, you know, unnecessary arguments about what the subject wasn't even about. You know, it's just an easier conversation for them to have with the way the relationship is now.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's not my relationship. As long as my relationship with my parents is okay, then there shouldn't be an issue.
Okay.
There's nothing I should be worried about.
You know, that's a very mature way of looking at it. So now I want to touch bases here because I want to see where you are spiritually, where you are with the church now,
sure.
and stuff like that. The reason you're going to a church is because you're getting paid to go.
It's a nice bonus.
But the thing is, you weren't going to church before, correct?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. I mean, because Herman was really the only church I went to. I mean, I came. You know, we visited here a couple times when we were at Herman. I went to Light and Life mostly because I went to school there.
But Light and Life's closed too.
Yeah, Light and Life's closed now too. Yeah. I mean, I've always really liked Marina. To be honest with you, Marina's been like my second Herman in my head, always. Just because it was the sister church. Like we always when the church would go do things, like Marina would too.
Okay.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
So I noticed that.
And I worked together.
Yeah. Exactly. Together, so you guys kind of tied that in.
We kind of challenged each other. First it was a volleyball game, and then it
was the volleyball game. I remember those. I wasn't
this is what happened at the volleyball game, and I'm totally bitter towards it. Wait, this is like 15 years ago. We were playing at here in Playa Vista, and when we were playing volleyball, you guys won the first game. It was best out of three games.
I remember that.
And after
you guys
that,
won the second, and the last one was crazy. I remember that.
After the first game, I told the people that were playing, I go, I cannot lose to this church. This church fired me. I went through a divorce in this church. Dang. We cannot let them win.
Yeah.
And I this was totally.
I understand the termination behind Marina now. But from back then, you guys had such like.
I had so
we were coming to play for fun, and you guys were really like.
I wasn't playing. I was, and then when we won, I acted all humble. Oh, that's a great game. We did. But I still had hurt from Herman and stuff like that. And it was like. It was just really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, I don't have issues with Herman anymore. And Herman, that church, there's a part of my heart that will always be there.
Mm-hmm.
It really has some good people there. It's really gone through some real bad stuff, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the years. And you've seen this, too. Yeah. You know, it's hard. So the thing is, you know, we were talking, I think, last week, and you had this interesting perspective on going to church and not having to be part of a church now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of your experiences.
Definitely.
So tell me 100%. About that. Yeah.
I think it relates to my dad a lot, too, because, okay. like you said, my dad's a DJ, and this would be actually this is a good point to kind of get this across. He has an event on Sunday after hours, like 1 to 3 type of thing, mm-hmm. In the morning, and it's called Therapy, but it's all house music.
Okay.
And he's a DJ. He plays house music, and he literally says like that's church for him on Sundays.
Okay.
Because where he's at right now at Brea, yeah. he's a youth pastor. They actually just changed their services to Saturdays.
Right.
In the middle of the day, so they have lunch, they have a service, okay. and then that's it on Saturday. His second church is on Sundays at night because it's literally just a place where people come to listen to music and just you know. Be together.
Okay.
And that's kind of what church is. You know,
right.
you're there to do one thing together.
Therapy too.
Exactly. And it's like there's no lyrics in his music, and when there is, it's like he's playing gospel house.
Okay,
so there's
really?
Probably like a literal verse in it. And it's like it's really cool. So okay. like I've always really resonated with that because I mean to me that's what church is.
Right.
You're all there to do the same thing, to give one energy to this vibe. And I mean, I feel that through anything when I'm with my friends. I mean, you could talk about God to God, to anybody, anywhere.
Right.
And I mean, that could be church.
And the thing is, I would assume therapy,
mm-hmm.
the group, the name of the event, therapy, is more safe than some churches.
You
are.
Know? Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, people are there. It's night. You know, they're drinking. They're having a good time. But they're just listening to music and dancing and being with each other.
Right.
Just going, you know, feeling each other's energy. Just
Hey, I want to ask you about your dad. Because through this conversation, through private conversations I've had with you, I've come up to a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me if this conclusion is right. Okay,
it probably will be. Go ahead.
You have a profound respect for your father.
I do.
Where is that coming from, and how does that? Because that's just powerful. Because I wish I could have that with my dad, and so I would become kind of curious because you've seen your dad go through some crap.
I think that's right there is exactly where it stems from.
Okay,
from seeing him go through everything and still be as humble and happy and loving as he is, like it's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty ridiculous.
Okay, your dad's filled with the Holy Spirit, or he's nuts.
a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I've known your dad as long as you have.
Yeah.
So let me do this. Going back, and church is not really a priority, quote unquote, with you, and you're experiencing more of the body of Christ around the nightclubs and stuff like that. Do you go with your dad to the therapy?
I do. Okay. He actually had a show, a late night show on his birthday last month, this past month on October 4th. I went out there with him. And I mean, I'll go every once in a while because I DJ and produce and engineer as well.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I produce a lot of different types of music. I record some bands, some rappers, and then like I DJ on my own, kind of like he does
cool.
my own production, some songs
cool.
here and there,
just carrying the legacy
weddings out. And services. Like I pick up some of the gigs he can't do sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then
so they got AJ
with my friends. Yeah.
And see what AJ. Going off that, mm-hmm. it was interesting because I asked for your phone number last week.
Yeah.
And I can't, with a tremor, I can't put anything in my phone. So I handed you my phone, and then I watched you put your name in. And I thought you would go AJ Mora Jr.,
mm-hmm.
you know.
As a lot of people do. AJ Jr. or Little AJ.
Trying to be crazy. Okay. But you wrote AJ Christian Mora on my phone,
mm-hmm.
and for the phone number... And I was thinking, ooh, that's deep. there's always a story behind something like that. And I have no idea. I never talked to you about this. What is that story to put more letters on my phone, AJ Christian Moore, than AJ Junior?
I would have just put a C in the period, but, you know, I was feeling... No, I mean, so for people who don't know, my grandfather's name is Alvaro.
Okay.
And my father's name, everyone calls him AJ, but his birth name is Alvaro as well. So that makes my dad Alvaro Junior, okay. Which is where his AJ comes from.
Okay.
He's Alvaro Junior.
Okay.
My AJ comes from, personally, I think it was really just a mix-up at the hospital. I really do.
Really?
Because I think they were already calling me AJ as a nickname.
Okay.
And they just told the doctor to put AJ.
Okay.
And instead of putting Alvaro Jr. Christian Mora, they put A dot J dot Christian Mora. And that's on my birth certificate. That's on my ID. So my first name is A dot J dot Christian Mora.
So that's basically how you spell your name.
Yeah,
my
name is actually with the periods, but I never put them in there just because it's just...
You know, so
it's
when you learn how to spell your name, you're much easier than other kids.
Yeah, the only thing was just my J's were backwards. But besides that, it was A-L for a while. Until, like, first grade. I still blew it. Yeah,
that's funny.
But yeah, AJ Christian Mora. And I think, actually... So since you, I think you mentioned that last week when I put it in, I was kind of thinking about it, and I think the deeper part for the Christian is it that stems from my mom's name, Christine.
Okay. Christine,
which is, and you know, I'm a boy, so Christian, which is obviously AJ Christine Mora.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where actually my middle name comes from. So I'd rather just put both. You know, rep both sides of the family.
Yeah, that's cool. Christian Moore. Yeah. And so it's really cool that you're following, in a sense, in your dad's footsteps and stuff like that. So let me wrap this up.
Sure.
Because I know you need to get out of here because you have to go to work.
I do. I have work. Oh, yeah. If anyone needs Best Buy deals. I just got a job at Best Buy, guys.
Yeah, you got a job at Best Buy. And I try to get the discount, but he says it's only 5%.
Honestly, it's not that great. I can hook you up with mine, but I mean, it's not too great.
So after the podcast, you'll be super busy because this airs right after Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's going to be a hectic holiday.
Crazy holiday.
I literally got this job because I needed, like, it was just, I needed something for the holidays. Right. I was just working here, by the way. I've just been working at Marina. Yeah. Just once a week.
I don't know how much we pay. I needed a second job. So let's say somebody is going through what you've gone through, that they've been hurt by the church, they've been disillusioned by the church, and they kind of just say, you know what, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done with this. Mm-hmm. And they just, and in fact, most people that do that, I'm done with this, really, in a sense, are done with God. They're done
with
Christ.
Yeah, yeah. So and, you know, I actually went through that kind of small period, too, for sure. High school was a lot of that.
Right.
Kind of just unsure whether or not to keep the whole idea and ideology of everything and move on with my life with that.
Right.
Or to touch into some new boundaries or areas. And, I mean, obviously, you know, you can see what I chose. it's definitely, you know, a little bit of both, but, you know, I kept a lot of, I mean, it's hard to get, when you grow up like that, it's hard to get away from. but again, it's nice to hear my dad speak because he, I think he's gone through the same type of disillusionment. Because my dad's a PK, too. My grandfather's a pastor.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, I wouldn't...
You know what? Your dad did go through it.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know he's gone through some stuff, too. So, I mean, I wouldn't doubt that he had the same type of disillusionment or feeling to just kind of say, you know, F it. I don't want to do this anymore. And
I think he did.
I'm sure he did.
I think he actually said the word.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. So,
But that's what I love about your dad and I love about you, the authenticity of who you are and not pretending to be something that you're not. Because as pastor's kids, we're told to do that.
I think that comes from... that expectation that we were given in the church. People coming to church and playing this part and then going home and being somebody else and like, why are you doing that? No. Just be the same person the entire time. Absolutely. You don't have to worry about that.
Well, thank you so much, AJ, for being part of this podcast. And if you remember, church is at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning and Saturdays at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So when you see AJ sitting there in the sound booth, looking down on his phone.
It's because I'm trying to stay awake before the service starts.
Just give him a hug and tell him this podcast meant a lot to him. And I think if your dad was listening to this or is listening to this, they would be so stinking proud of you. So remember, every day is a gift from God. Use it wisely. God bless you. And join us for another podcast next week. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Good job. You feel good about it?
Yeah, definitely. That was easy.